Hello. Welcome to the Rebel Room, the second Rebel Room of the week.
Whoa, this is past our quota right here.
Well, it's that overlap time. You know, there's like that 6 week stretch where football and basketball coexist as one and have no choice but to.
But I didn't sign up for two podcasts a week. That's not in my contract.
I'm going to do like Lou Brown in Major League. Just give me that contract and I'll put it on the ground and
once again, yeah. You botched the movie quote. Anyways.
No, I didn't botch a movie quote. I'm just trying to think of an appropriate way to say it on this family podcast.
Okay.
Well, this is the family podcast. This is with the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Alex Adianju here to talk UNLV football. We talked basketball earlier in the week with Rob Mish. If you are subscribed to iTunes, that one's already downloaded to your computer, and I'm sure you've already enjoyed it.
We finally fixed our iTunes game. We apologize if we were having trouble.
We stepped it up. We're sitting here, a couple mics, a couple waters, some M&Ms.
It's a great day to be a UNLV Rebel fan, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it would be. UNLV downs Wyoming 22-14, their second, I guess what you could call complete victory in a row, and their second victory in a row. Now 5-6, one win away from bowl eligibility. Obviously, they need a little help, too, to secure an automatic bowl bid. But nonetheless, an impressive turn here late in the season for the Rebels. We're going to talk about last night's game, look ahead to next week's season finale at 1-9, San Diego State, who has to take on Utah this weekend. So, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Poor Aztecs.
Poor Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk is rolling over in his grave right now.
It's funny. I have a buddy that moved out to San Diego over the summer, and they got tickets with his wife's friends to go out to the San Diego State opener against Cal Poly, at which they lost, of course, to a 1AA team or a FCS team or whatever they are called now. It was Marshall Faulk throwback jersey night, so they gave out free Marshall Faulk
jerseys.
So his alma mater was disgraced in front of several...
100 fans?
I was going to say tens.
Oh.
And we might see several hundred next week.
They could be all UNLV fans.
Boy, you thought these last couple of weeks attendance at Sam Boyd Stadium was rough. Think about going to an NFL stadium next week to watch that game. I bet there won't be more than 5,000.
It wouldn't surprise me if there will be less than 5,000.
I don't think
there'll probably be bigger attendance at the high school regional final games next week than UNLV San Diego State.
See, but that favors UNLV again. And everything on paper favors UNLV. We'll talk about that in a little bit again. But, Alex, let's get talking about last night's game,
senior night.
UNLV finishes the year 4-3 at home.
First time since 2000 they've had a winning home record.
It's pretty impressive. And you know, really, when you look at it, the victories over New Mexico and now over Wyoming, they were really carbon copies of each other. It took a little while to get going, you know. Mike Clausen, I think if he showed anything other than, you know, he could be steady, I think he's shown that it takes him a little while to get settled in. Last week was 8-23 in the first half. This week, 8-17. But the defense was able to hold things close until the offense was able to push it over the top. And then the defense was able to get the momentum-changing plays late that sealed it.
I think the biggest storyline from the past 2 weeks has been the play of the defense, the way they've came alive at the utmost importance. I mean, these last two games going into this third game coming up next week are the biggest games of UNLV season, and the defense has finally played the way they played earlier in the year, and that's why they're holding Wyoming to 14 points, New Mexico to 20 points, causing turnovers. I mean, they've had, what, 6 turnovers in the past 2 games, I think?
And they're getting picks.
They're getting picks.
Yeah.
Who knew the secondary can catch footballs?
Well, it's funny because both picks last night came off tip balls. One was tipped by Daryl Forte and grabbed by Quentin Pointer. The other was tipped by Jeffrey Snake Dance Howard.
Do the snake dance.
I thought we were going to see it last night.
I was hoping we were. I was looking for it, but he didn't do it.
It was grabbed by Rusty Worthen. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, those are tip balls that they don't catch. Those are tip balls that fall to the turf and keep drives going.
They're finding ways to make plays now, which you didn't see during their 5-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. Every time they were supposed to make a play, they did not. And now they're finding ways, whether it be pressure up front by the front four, making the quarterback release the ball early, or tip balls or interceptions or just big plays on third down conversions. UNLV is making plays, ladies and gentlemen, and they're winning when they make plays. It's that simple.
Well put. Yeah, no, it really is. And defense is playing a good closing role now. They're, you know, they're making stops at the end of the game. And, you know, another thing that's kind of flown under the radar is how solid they've been against the run. In the last two weeks, they have faced the Mountain West's top two rushers, first in Rodney Ferguson from New Mexico. They hold him to 123 yards, which still looks good on paper, but, you know, none of them really did much. Then last night, Devin Moore, who I think we were both pretty impressed with, was held to 91 yards and, again, really didn't do too much damage, only picked up a handful of first downs. They were able to crack down against the run, make some tackles for loss. They're not letting teams get these big gains on first down that keep drives going.
And when you talk to head coach Mike Sanford about their defense, he's saying point blank, Gary, we get healthy people back. It's amazing what happens when you have healthy people. He was talking about how they had to take some stuff out of their playbook from what they had in spring ball and the Ely training camp just because of all the injuries. And now that you have everybody coming back, you see Ronnie Paul made some big hits yesterday. Nate Carter made some big hits yesterday. Beauchamp was doing his thing. I mean, once they have their full arsenal, they're a pretty tough defense to play against.
Speaking of which, let's hear what they had to say. Here is Mike Sanford, Jason Beauchamp, and Ronnie Paulo talking about the defense's performance last night and the past 2 weeks.
I would say the first thing, and I know this is going to sound simple, but we got some people back. And got some people back healthy. And we were able to play, because of that, our defense that we put in the spring and during 2-a-days. We had to change what we were doing on defense because of injuries. The other thing is, I think we've created some competition in the secondary, and we got a lot of different guys playing. We're playing with we got freshmen playing out there that are playing really good. Chris Jones is playing, doing well. You know, Daryl Forte played well tonight. Travis Dixon played well tonight. We're playing a lot of safeties. Obviously, Terrence Lee, I got to comment on that. That play at the end of the game, ripping that ball out of the guy's hands, that was a fantastic play on the punt.
Basically, we were trying to make a statement, you know, go hard or go home. We knew what was at stake and we wanted it more. So, I think we just buckled, focused in, looking at it in terms of quarters of the season. We're gonna finish strong. So,
it feels great. I know the guys, the guys up front. I mean, I know they're happy. They've been playing great, and. You know, when we see production, when we see guys, I mean, we just feed on it. And I think everybody on defense loves to see, big plays. And I think that's just building a team. I mean, we've been getting better all year.
All right. Well, let's expand a little more. Defensively, now they go to San Diego State. Boy, this is a team that's had probably more defensive issues than any team in the country. They rank 118th in run defense, allowing 270 plus a game.
If Frank Summers and CJ Cox do not get at least 40 carries combined in this game on Saturday, I don't know if I can be able to live with myself. Not even myself. I don't think the UNLV fans can live with themselves. It's pretty simple. When you have the second to worst rush defense in the nation you're playing against, you have to run the ball.
Especially when you've got, like we were saying with UNLV's defense, a defense is playing with confidence on the other side, where you know that if things don't work out, if you're running the ball, maybe things don't work, which they will work out if you run the ball against these guys, they're going to get stops. It's no longer a concern. You know, there's no more of this, you know, the offense dragging the defense behind it in the fourth quarter, not wanting them to go on the field and all that jazz. Now things are pretty balanced right now. So you can afford to attack weaknesses, and for San Diego State, that's what it is.
If you have Frank Summers on your college fantasy team this week, start him.
Well, last year he had 186 yards against these guys.
Start him.
Yeah. If he doesn't get 25 carries, I will be hurt. I'll be shocked to be
unless they're up like 45-0 after two, then I'll understand. They'll probably rest him in the second half.
But then David Peoples better get about 50 carries, and Channing Trotter better get about 40.
If they don't have over 300 rush yards in this game, it will be very disappointing. Very disappointing.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Really not.
That's all they have to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You run the ball on first down. You run the ball on second down. You run the ball on third down. There's no need to. They should have just go single wing. Just single wing it. That's all you got to do.
Well, they're going to be getting they're playing San Diego State, who's 1-9 this year, 0-6 in league. The only team with a winless record in league. But we've also hinted on it a little bit before. They are going to need some help. For all of you out there who are kind of familiar with this, the Mountain West has four automatic bowl tie-ins. Those are two: the Las Vegas Bowl, the Poinsettia Bowl, the Armed Forces Bowl, the vaunted Armed Forces Bowl down in Fort Worth, Texas, and the New Mexico Bowl. UNLV, with a win next week, would finish tied for fifth in the league. should Colorado State win out. Now, Colorado State, of course, beat UNLV 41-28 earlier, and not that tiebreakers play into it, but Colorado State traditionally travels a little better than UNLV. Will probably get the bid to the New Mexico Bowl. Now, that said, they're going to be tied for fifth. To move for one of those two to move into that four slot, Utah needs to win out and go to the BCS.
And just, or TCU.
Or TCU. Well, TCU or BYU.
Maybe one of those three needs to go to a BCS bowl.
Somehow.
Somehow, some way. Keep coming up with.
I think BYU.
I'll just wrap it for you.
I think BYU's still a BCS sleeper if they went out. I'm not saying they're impressive, but if they went out,
I think it's
a sleeper.
It's Utah first, TCU second, BYU.
Even with two losses?
TCU?
Yeah.
Yeah, but look who they've just beaten. Oh, they lost to Utah last week, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I take that back.
I was wondering what the heck you were talking about.
I forgot they lost that game.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm stupid.
But one of them would have to get to the BCS, and just for safe measure, Colorado State would need to lose one of its final two games. They play at home Saturday against Colorado State, and then they go to
Colorado State can't play Colorado
or,
State.
Or New Mexico.
Is it a scrimmage?
All right, so we're one for one. We're
green
one
and
one
gold
one.
Game.
We're one and one now, okay? Fair enough.
Yes.
And then they go to Wyoming next week. So UNLV will need probably a little help on top of a victory. But
first, they got to win the game before they can ask for help.
Well, let's go inside this game a little bit. We already talked about the run game, which obviously is going to be pretty prevalent. Well, with that said, the question becomes, is it really all that important who starts at quarterback? But
if you remember the press release on Omar Clayton, they said rehabilitation time. I forgot how to pronounce
rehabilitation.
It. Rehabilitation time is 2 to 6 weeks. Next week will be the 3-week mark of his injury
from the torn MCL.
From the torn MCL
in the left knee.
In the right knee. I thought it was
knee.
Right knee. And the question becomes: Mike Clausen has played well. They've won two games. He has not turned the ball over. Do you play Omar? Do you start Omar? Or do you hold off for either A, the bowl game, or B, spring ball next year? I think, personally, you dress Omar Clayton. You let Mike Clausen start. If Mike has problems, you bring in Omar. But you can't go into this game with Omar starting just because of the injury he's coming off of.
And once again, this is all assuming that rehabilitation has gone how it's supposed to.
And the doctors give him the clearance.
Which we don't know yet, but we're kind of assuming here that he could be available. I'm right on with you because Mike Clausen has done nothing in the last 2 weeks to make anyone believe he's going to go and just and whiz this game down his leg. You know, I mean, there's no reason to believe that right now, and especially against a team where really you're just going to have
to. The quarterback's not really a factor in this game coming up on Saturday.
I mean, it is always a factor a little bit, but not nearly as much as the last 2 weeks.
It shouldn't be a factor.
It's not
going
to be an
it.
Intimidating road atmosphere for him to start in. I really think you go with Clausen. Honestly, and you know, I think if that's the case and somehow they do land the New Mexico Bowl bid, Omar's your starter in the bowl game. You can't lose your, when you've been as good as Omar Clayton has all year, you don't lose your job due to injury.
I agree.
But at the same time, do you really want to unnecessarily force him back? And I think it would be unnecessary for him to start next week.
I don't think he needs to start. If they were playing, let's say, Colorado State or Utah or TCU or one of the top clubs in the Mountain West, then yes, you start him. This is San Diego State. 1-9 San Diego State.
Who gives up a zillion yards on the ground a game.
Exactly.
San Diego State.
I mean, I'm not no mathematician, and I did not say at a Holiday Inn last night, but with all these numbers being thrown at you, you got to run, give the ball to Frank and CJ and let them just run. Mm-hmm. Point blank run. Don't worry about the quarterback. Just run.
And here's the other thing. Mike Clausen's proven to be a pretty effective runner the last two games.
You get that speed option.
50 plus yards.
Yeah, speed option to the side, that QB draw.
Here it is.
This is it. And for all those Mike Sanford haters, who's laughing now? You know what I'm saying?
Even if they don't get to a bowl game but go 6-6, it's one heck of an accomplishment.
And you really can't even. And think about all the players are mostly freshmen, sophomores.
Mm-hmm.
What they'll lose next year, what they'll gain in recruiting, what they'll gain in their red shirts they're doing. This could be the beginning of something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Well, that's the other thing we were talking about last night. You know, before the game, I watched four guys walk out of the locker room in street clothes. You have Clayton, your top touchdown receiver, Phillip Payne, and your best defensive player, Star Fui Maono, who's been out for 10 weeks. And then Lorenzo Bursi, who's emerged in the defensive backfield. three of those guys will be back next year. Bercy will not. He'll graduate. But, you know, once this team's all healed up, too, you wonder, I mean, because I would think if you get to a bowl game, you're going to have Payne and Clayton back at that point, too.
I would
probably
agree.
Bercy.
And probably Bercy.
And you'll be completely healthy.
On top of the way Rodland Anthony's been playing, he's really stepped up his game.
Jeremy Robinson, too.
Dante Purvis isn't stepping up his game. You know, they could be a pretty good team come next year. But first, I got to finish this year. And that means the bowl game. Who you texting? Who you texting?
Who you calling? who you calling? Who you talking to? Who you emailing?
I ain't talking to nobody right
now. Who you
now.
G-chatting?
I ain't talking. Oh! Anyways.
Well, we're still a week out, and we're going to talk Rebel football in the Rebel Room before next week's game. But right now, based on what you've seen the last two games from UNLV alone, what are you thinking next week?
I'm thinking Mike Sanford gets a Gatorade shower. I'm thinking there's a wild celebration. I'm thinking a 6-6 record. I'm thinking UNLV 42, San Diego State 14. What you thinking?
I'm thinking M&M's are delicious. I'm thinking 42-21.
Who wins?
It's a surprise. No, UNLV.
UNLV. It would be big just for this season to just get 6 wins. I mean, coming into this year, people were talking about UNLV being one of the worst 10 programs in the country. And look where they're at now.
People wondering what week Sanford was going to get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
This could be a big accomplishment for this team. Mm-hmm. Big.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep.
Ginormous.
Yep.
Really big. Mm-hmm. I have no more adjectives for the word big. This team could become a great one. They could become a great one.
All right, Alex, before we get out, pay the bills. You love doing it.
Okay, check this out. You know how we do. All in the Vegas sports scene. 5:30, Thursdays, Vegas TV. We doing it real big now. You know we'll get your full UNLV San Diego State preview. We also got that UNLV basketball. Maybe a little UFC. Some killing time with Christine Killemeyer. Rodland Anthony will be our guest this week, folks. He is one smart dude. He makes me look stupid. Point blank, stupid.
You set me up, and I'm not going to take it.
All right.
Out of respect for the situation.
LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. You know how we do. Video, photos, stories. We doing it real. We all ends on iTunes. We're on YouTube. My mic cover just fell off, but I'm still talking because we got to make that money, boss. You know how we do. We in a recession, but we not really in recession online. You can go for that free. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do that. You know what I mean? You get on your computer. You type in LasVegasSun.com.
Dude, you need to put that mic cover back on.
/all in or LasVegasSun.com/rebels. You read. You watch. You learn. You tell all your boys to read, watch, and learn. And that's how we do things. You feel me? Vegas TV, 5:30, Thursdays for All In the Vegas Sports
Scene.
Okay,
I feel like if I don't cut you off now, you might never stop.
I could go on and on and on and on to the break of dawn. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I roll.
Well, you're not going to have a chance to, so any final comments?
All in the Vegas sports scene. No, it's a big week for UNLV football. This is probably their biggest game in 3 or 4 years, 5 years. Biggest game in Mike Sanford's era. This is a huge game coming up on Saturday. We'll see how they get it going.
And again, we will have a chance to talk to you some more here on the Rebel Room before that game gets here. But for now, I'm Ryan Green.
I'm Alex Adianju.
Talk to you next week.
Peace.